again to Dual Wielding episode 18. Joining me this week, we have Chad.
Yo, 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 internet. What's happening? I'm stoked to be here.
It's not gay bar. And on the other side of the spectrum.
Don't
knock
until you've tried it, boy.
So are you saying you're going back?
Maybe.
Did you meet good people?
If I'm asked to return, I will go back, certainly.
Did they kick you out?
No.
Then why wouldn't they ask you to return?
I'll go there by myself. If other people are like, yo, go there with us, I'll be like, fucking right, I will.
You didn't get hit on? You didn't get any free drinks?
No, nothing. I saw some things. Things were seen. It was all around a very interesting time, and it was totally worth it.
Fair enough. And joining us from the other side of the globe is Daniel.
As usual.
As like last week, since there's so much news to cover, we're going to start off with the news. And if we have any other time, we'll get into any games we've been playing recently. And really, there's no place to start other than the announcement, the surprise announcement that nobody saw coming of Sony revealing their new handheld portable, nicknamed or codenamed the Next Gen Portable, or NGP. For the sake of this podcast and the fact that I'm not going to always say NGP, I'm just going to go with the PSP2.
Yep, sounds like a plan.
And where do we want to start? I mean, let's start with the
two analog sticks. Count those analog sticks. There's clearly two of them.
There are two analog sticks on this.
And then there are like five other gimmicky input methods on the damn thing. Like the stupid touchpad on the back, and then there's the gyroscope and the six-axis stuff, and then there's...
I thought the six-axis was the gyroscope.
Same thing. Well,
yeah,
the touch screen, and it's like...
There's touch screen on the top, and there's touch screen at the bottom.
Well, it's not. It's more like a touchpad.
Okay. It's touch-sensitive at the bottom. So it's the OE console you can caress and molest and not and get away with it. But yeah, it has a lot of forms of input, and I'm fairly certain that much like the 6S, most of them will be done away with after launch generation games.
Probably.
Personally speaking, I mean, you know, two dual analog sticks, I'm sure most people are excited for, and it's a good feature. You can get more, I guess, console-esque games. I honestly don't see the purpose of the touchscreen on the touchpad underneath the console. I mean, yeah, some people are saying, you know, so you don't touch the stuff, you know, when you're actually on the screen. But if you're a good touchscreen game, you know how to compensate for the fact that part of your finger will be obscured on the screen. You just make sure that's not a part the person really needs to see all the time.
I think the main problem with the touchpad on the back is you can't really see what you're doing.
Well, I mean, you can see which. Okay, I mean,
in that case, I can see it being very limited or just not used at all because it's you have to sort of have an idea of what you're doing as you're doing it instead of. I know it's weird. And the location of it, I can see myself touching it by accident.
I'm assuming it's in most games it's probably going to be turned off by default, or it's oh you're going to be because again that's another issue is that if it's a handheld you're going to hold it with your fingers on for that, so if it's always on you can accidentally end up doing stuff you didn't mean to do. It's going to take an adjustment. It's kind of going to be like getting used to the Wii where you don't realize that. I mean again this is from my personal experience is that you always forget that the controller is always active since it's motion controlled.
Yeah.
So sometimes when you go to move or get something, you forget that that's actually going to move something in the game. And I can see that when you're trying to fix your hands on the handheld and you might accidentally slide across the touchpad and do something you didn't mean to do. But again, a good game would compensate for that, or again, it should be off by default, I think.
It should just not be there.
I mean, it's an interesting idea. I don't see it being something that's featured heavily in big releases, but for like the downloadable sector, I could see that being a huge type of thing where people focus on and create games around that.
Yeah.
Mr. Chad, any comments?
I don't know. I think it's cool. I mean, it's not something where I found myself sitting there thinking, gee, if only I had a touchscreen on the back of this device, it would be so much better. But, I mean, I think there's certainly nothing wrong with it. You can do cool things with it. I mean, it's easy to kind of callously say, oh, no, if people built games properly, then you wouldn't have to worry about obstructing the field of vision or whatever. But people tend to not do that.
Yeah,
so,
it's an issue with having all these control schemes, I think, is that you're going to find games. And you find games like this on the Wii. I'm sure you find games like this on Kinect and the PS3 or whatever, where instead of focusing on building a core game around like one type of element, you're going to see people who are using the dual analog sticks and then using the underneath touch
screen.
Well,
we've already got that sort of thing with other. Have you seen the video of the guy playing Uncharted?
Yeah, I mean, I'm
I
sure
hope to God that is just to show off the features, because playing Uncharted and having, you know, using the touchscreen to jump over a log and using the touchpad on the back to climb up vines. No, just give us, just let us use just the analog sticks and then we'll be fine. I don't, it's not going to work for a game like Uncharted. I don't care what anyone says.
I mean, it can work if, again, it's like Uncharted, and I think Uncharted 2, I could be mistaken, have a 6S control, which you can turn off. I mean, it's something that, you know, Sony was doing at the time, so it has, you know, it has 6S for when you're walking across the edges and you have to bounce it, and it has it for tossing grenades, but it's something you can turn off, and it doesn't really affect the quality of the game. And I see that same type of thing going here with all the various control inputs and methods working in unison. Yeah, I guess that's it for the control inputs. Unless we missed one.
Touchscreen on the front. The front is touchscreen, so you can use it like kind of like you would an iPhone
or a DS.
In the menus. That's it, I think.
Okay. The console itself looks pretty much like a PSP.
Which I also don't think that's a good idea. Because back to what I was saying last week about how the DS has the perfect sort of pick-up-and-play games. The way the DS is, because the DS is like kind of like a laptop in the sense that you open it when you're playing it, and then you can clearly, and when you're done, you just shut it, and it's obvious that you're done. And also, that protects the screen and the buttons and stuff. So I think that going with the original PSP design isn't a great idea. And Sony could really change that.
I don't have a problem with that.
I like the design of the PSP Go. Why bother with the PSP Go design when you were just going to go back on it?
I mean, I guess because they really want to kind of get away from the PSP Go.
Don't blame
in general,
them.
I personally am just more concerned with the fact that, and I'm sure some people are going to say you can do different things, it doesn't really own itself to being portable. You can't really, like, stick it in your pocket. Granted, you probably can't really stick a DS in your pocket. It does fit in most back pockets, but that's another.
I'll get back to you on that one, because obviously I'm going to be in London next week for this Nintendo event. So I'll have to get back to you on that, on how big the 3DS actually is.
I would assume it's not much bigger than a DS.
DSi. It's probably not as much bigger than a DSi, in which case you'd be able to put it in your pocket easy, but I can't see anyone putting an NGP in their pocket.
Well, you think, even if you could, it's not really suitable because of the dual analog sticks.
Yeah.
You're going to end up, like, I'm sure, I don't know how many of you have had an experience with this, with like controllers where after wear and tear, they end up being off-centered.
Yeah. I get that all the time.
You've never had that? I've got that a lot of times on my Xbox controllers.
Yeah, that's the only time I've.
I treat my controllers like small children, so.
It's like wear and tear just using it.
Yeah.
Because you don't often play a game when you just keep the analog stick in the middle. So after a while, it just kind of goes off-center.
It happened to me so often. I bought an indie game on Xbox Live, which actually has like controller tests on it. And it shows you where the sort of controller is Yeah, that's how often it happens to me, is I actually have a tool to test my controller with.
I'm up to like my third controller because of that. Something like third or fourth controller because they always go off center. And I hate saying like that because you end up using some degree of control. And I'm afraid that if you stick that in your pocket, that something like that's going to happen with the PSP too. Awesome. Again, people, nobody wears a fanny pack anymore, but I guess you can dump it in a book bag or something like that. But,
yeah, but in that case, it becomes, the problem with that is it's less portable.
Yeah, which is, it becomes more like an iPad than it does like a DS or an iPhone or something like that. So, again, I mean, I'm assuming people didn't use the PSP as a portable.
Well, I don't know anyone who uses their portables as portables.
I use my DS as, because every time I really play it, which is why I'm not huge into handheld, is if I'm going on long trips or if I have to commute to work and stuff, because on average, I mean, a commute in the city's somewhere in the range of, like, say, 45 minutes. So I have plenty of time to kind of play a game.
Yeah, then it becomes definitely viable. I find that's my problem with portable games in general right now, is that
you don't have the time.
Like, I used to play them all the time, and then I was able to drive and stopped almost all portable playing, because it's like, okay, well now I'm not just sitting here.
It takes me
10
minutes to get
nothing.
Where I want, yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
But, I mean, the design itself is nice and sick. Sony makes sexy consoles, except for the original PS3.
Hey,
are
you kidding me?
Am I kidding? The
PS3
is ugly.
That thing's a monolithic representation of beauty and power. It is like an Amazon of video game consoles.
Which doesn't make it attractive. I mean, of the three consoles, I would say personally, I think the Wii has the simplest and sickest look, and the 360 Sim is probably the best looking overall console.
So you're saying you like the PS3 Slim better than the old PS3? Like,
I'm gonna say from pictures, I've actually never seen a PS3 Sim in person.
I don't like either PS3. I just find it a really odd shape.
I was actually going to say, Sony actually does make really ugly consoles, because I don't like the original PlayStation design either.
I didn't like the PS2 either.
No.
Saying that, last generation, the only good-looking console was the GameCube.
It was the best-looking console of the three. That's not saying. I would give it to the PS2 Sim.
Most of the time, the first iteration of a console looks bad, and Nintendo is just kind of...
Nintendo only does first iterations of consoles.
Which is so odd, because they do like 50 iterations of their handheld.
But the thing is their handhelds sell more than their consoles.
Yeah, but still, I mean, that would down itself to selling more consoles. Like, you redesign it. Look at the boom that the PlayStation 3 and the 360
got. In regards to handhelds, I actually compare Nintendo to Apple.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's not that Sony gets away with it, it's just that they kind of use the same design and renumber it. Because there's five versions of the PSP and the PSP Go?
There's three.
Or is it 1,000, 2,000, 3,000?
There's a lot of them, because there's a 1,000.
Did the 4,000 ever actually happen?
4,000 didn't go, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, so there was no actual 4,000 then.
But they do, I mean, they do have versions, it's just not as radical a redesign as the DS has been.
Oh, not nearly.
And I don't think they make as big a deal as Nintendo does, because Nintendo pretty much, like the DSi, they added, the camera and the DSi Wear Store and whatever, but this is about the NGP, there we go.
PSP 2.
PSP 2. So, yeah, nice design, doesn't own itself to being portable, but it looks nice. I guess the next thing would be...
The games?
The games.
Yeah.
And this is my biggest issue with it right now. And
so I heard you like console games. So you put console games on your portable handheld.
It's an impressive line. If you have Uncharted, you have Little Big Planet, you had Metal Gear, you had Samurai Warriors, you had Yakuza. Is it 3 or 4? I guess that would be
Chess
Department.
3, because they're porting games. I'm going to assume it's 3.
Yeah, it's the porting thing that I don't like.
Yeah. It's like, and it's the same issue I had with Nintendo, where like half of the games they announced for the 3DS, like ports or remakes of N64 games like Star Fox and Zelda and stuff like that. But here it's just like, oh, you have a PS3. You're going to really have these PS3 games on the go.
It's the funny thing is I, the price, because they haven't announced the price yet, right? If I was to stand in a game store and look at a PSP 2 for, I don't know, 250 quid, even though it's going to be more than that, and I was to look at a PS3 for 250 quid, I would pick up a PS3 and not a PSP 2. Yeah. Because if I'm just going to get ported games and sequels, I may as well go for the system with the better versions.
Yeah, I mean, even though they added dual analog, which a lot of people wanted, they still though you have two shoulder buttons and not the four that's customary. Or am I mistaken in that regard?
No, there's only two shoulder buttons.
No, so definitely got two. Otherwise, so it'd be still, way too thick, right?
Yeah, then there's still games that you can't do properly. Like Uncharted would have to be changed a bit because
how do I throw grenades?
And then that comes into play where you have to move your hand from the analog stick or the shoulder buttons to press more face buttons, and you know stuff like that. But the fact is that I'm not so far. I'm not sold on that lineup because it's games that for the most part I either have on my PS3
or don't care
and
about.
And I get that they're continuation or sequels, and the other half are games I really don't care about. Like, no offense, I know some people. I don't care about Metal Gear Solid 4 on my handheld. I didn't care about it on my PS3. And if anything, I'd be more annoyed if I had to watch a half an hour.
That exists.
I would be more annoyed if I had to watch half an hour of video on the go instead of at home.
I don't know if you. Yeah, I was gonna say. I don't know if you saw on Twitter when they announced Metal Gear Solid 4. I said, didn't Tony already try movies on handhelds?
So, yeah, I don't. I'm not for that.
See, that's what bothers me about it, is the new proprietary media thing.
Is it new proprietary? I thought it was just like an SD card or something. Or
yeah,
is it a Sony
so
SD
Sony
card?
Sony were like, we're going to use a flash-based storage, and don't you mean just say cartridges? Nintendo don't care if you call them cartridges. Why don't you just say cartridges?
So, yeah, I mean, again, I'm assuming it seemed like it was early because a lot of people either weren't talking about their games or couldn't announce them, because even though like Metal Gear was there and Yakuza, I think all of those were pretty much tech demos to show that they can get the games up and running. I don't know. I'm assuming most of them will eventually become games, but like, I'm assuming they have new stuff down the line. And on the subject of Metal Gear, is Konami just out of ideas? Because the port of Metal Gear Solid 4 to the PSP2, and then the port of Metal Gear Solid 3 to the 3DS.
I didn't know they ported
it
to the PS2.
MGS4 is... No, he means PSP2.
I corrected myself before you made your comment.
Oh, well, then I didn't listen to you correct yourself, I guess.
But, yeah. And at this point, they might as well point Metal Gear Solid 2 to like the 360 or the Wii or something and get the whole lineup out there.
Yep, because it worked really well the last time they ported a Metal Gear to a Nintendo console.
I love Twin Snakes. That's an awesome
game.
That's
because you're a heathen.
Thank you. Ethan had fun with itself and didn't let me sit through a 30-minute philosophical
discussion. It did have fun
discussion.
With itself. It had fun with the mythology of Solid Snake and bastardized it.
I don't get it. It was an enjoyable experience. That's all I want for my video games. I don't want some knife-and-death discussion with some fictional character who ages like twice his normal rate. Anyhow.
Yeah, because he's human, unlike the snake in Twin Snakes, who is
a video
like,
game character.
All of a sudden, like a super ninja spy guy. Like, no.
Which is an awesome interpretation. The guy was kick-flipping off of rockets.
Yes, he was kick-flicking off of rockets.
Anyway.
Okay, yeah. I would not play Twin Snakes on PSP2, the saying.
I probably wouldn't play Uncharted on it.
I wouldn't play Killzone on it. Either.
No. People are like, Sony's got this wrapped up because they have Call of Duty and Monster Hunter.
I wouldn't
Monster
play
Hunter.
A Call of Duty game on the thing either. Monster Hunter on the PSP2 would be awesome. Even though I'm not a fan of Monster Hunter, I can see a lot of people.
Oh, it's going to sell well in Japan.
An entire country of people.
Yeah, it's going to sell well in Japan. The thing is, right now it's only a port of the one they just got at end of last year. With dual analog sticks, which is already a part of the Wii version.
So basically what they're Sony is saying is we don't have a launch lineup for the PSP 2, we're just going to port games, and that's
Well, I mean, to be fair, at this rate, they don't have a... The launch lineup isn't until the end of the year, so they have a whole 10 months to work on stuff. So, yeah, I don't expect any...
They're taking the move approach to it.
Kind of. But it's the difference is that Move was on a console that you already had the games for. This is buying a brand new console for games.
The chances are that PSP 2 will have more launch titles than Move has now.
That may be true. But, I mean, then again, most launch setups are kind of bad. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, the biggest issue for the launch, as they said, it's at the end of the year. They haven't announced any firm dates, and I assume that means 2012 in the States and Europe, is we don't know the price. And right now, that's the biggest effect with that handheld, I assume. I don't see them launching it at anything under $300.
That would be madness.
And this is the same company that said people would buy a $600 console because it said Sony on it, so...
Of course but people did. That was the thing.
But nowhere near the number of people who bought PS2s.
I feel like they can't launch higher at a higher price than the 3DS.
And the problem with that,
because otherwise, the general consumer is going to look at that and say, okay, that does stuff that I'm already doing, but this one does 3D and it's cheaper. Of course, I'm going to buy this one.
Yeah, you see, at the end of the day, Sony has...
That's the problem, is Sony is approaching the PSP 2 like exactly like they approached the PSP, PS3
and
even.
PS3.
And they were just like, power, power. We're going to give the developers power, power. Power doesn't make
anything. I love that they're doing
new.
That.
Yeah, and most gamers
have
that they're doing that.
Someone has to do it.
It's pushing it for gamers. It's pushing it for that type. The problem is that it's like if you start making an indie movie that's only catering to a smaller and smaller group of people, at some point you have to say, okay, you know what? We can do more power, but we'll cut it off here and then we'll start giving them tools that makes it affordable for other people because you want power, but you also want people to buy it. Because, and again, we'll see how this works out, is that the PS3 lucked out that it's the equivalent of the 360. If the Wii was on the level of those two, I don't think the PS3 would have gotten as many. It would have gotten multi-platform games, but if you notice that the PS3 was kind of buoyed by the multi-platform games like the first 2 or 3 years, and those games don't sell that well on the PS3, but because they sell well on the 360, people continue to make them, and it doesn't cost them much to port it over to the PS3, which is why you don't see the PS3 being the console for many of these games. And the PSP doesn't have that system. The PSP 2 doesn't have an equivalent where it's like, okay, you know what, we'll have some 3DS games and we'll port it up to the PSP 2 just because you're going to have to do more work to get it up and running and looking nice.
Not only that is the 3DS has a very specific control scheme, whereas the PSP 2 is like, oh, anything, whatever.
And that's the other thing, is like the PSP, I mean, again, it's more power, but it doesn't stand out. It's nothing... And
yeah.
This goes into a mini rant around Sony, but they're selling franchises and sequels to stuff that, to be honest, most people don't care about now. Like, Guilty Gear Xrd is an awesome game, I'm assured, but it doesn't sell that well. It doesn't have a mainstream appeal. The same thing with Uncharted, Killzone, SOCOM. Like, Sony's innovative in that they'll warrant new IPs and new franchises, but they haven't had that real big push outside of GT Gran Turismo, where they have a franchise that has mainstream appeal and that would be able to push consoles. They have Monster Hunter in Japan. That would do well for them. Especially being that Nintendo has no Pokemon lineup for this year. But outside of that, they don't really have that, oh, this is Sony, this is the franchise we associate with.
Yeah. It just seems to be... to be a typical Sony approach where they just throw everything at it and not... Because Nintendo is... They're really careful and they specialise and they say, right, we're going to do this and we're going to do it well. Whereas Sony just try and go all out and it doesn't really sort of come up to scratch. And it's the same here. It's the same when this generation of consoles came along. It's the same. Well, I can't say the same about last generation because I wasn't around at the start of the last generation, really. But it just seems to be a growing trend of Sony to just kind of be fairly arrogant in what they're doing.
And it works for them because people support them because they know that Sony will push the industry forward. And you need people doing that because sometimes, I'm not going to say Nintendo plays it safe, but they play it safe in the fact that they won't ever push the cap. Like, none of their consoles have ever been over $250 as far as I know at launch. So they're never going to push it to the tech with Sony and Microsoft. But on the same hand, Nintendo doesn't have that ability. The PlayStation 2 had that where it's like, you know, Sony threw money at it. They supported it, and they got developers on it early. The GameCube came out, Nintendo made, as they always do, several mistakes. And Microsoft is a new contender, so people weren't really sure where to back them, and Sony got away with that. The PS3 came around, and it's kind of like they went that same route, where we just keep on, you know, making it stronger and more powerful. More people will come and support us. And it's like they didn't account for the fact that not everybody can support that level of detail that they want in their consoles. But I don't want to make a Sony bashing podcast. So there were other features announced on the NGP, like the GPS, the Wi-Fi, 3G.
I can't think why they would bother with a 3G by putting 3G in it.
Yeah, actually, what's up with that?
People do not want more bills, and that is what 3G brings: more bills. A lot of people have smartphones, and they have to pay a $50, $60, $70, $80 bill for that every month, you know?
Yeah. And, I mean, Sony's giving you the options to not have 3G, but again, it's one of those things where it's like, I guess you're really, really anxious, and you're like one of those people who are in the middle of the street. And this goes back to the point before where the PSP2 really doesn't own itself to being a portable, but it's like if you are like out on the street and you're bored and something, you decide to buy a new game, you need that instant connection.
But
I can get that.
The thing is if you have a smartphone, you know how unreliable 3G is.
Yeah.
Trying to play games over 3D is only the most awful thing that I can ever think of for a games console.
I actually don't even know if my 3G works. Most of the time it's connected to Wi-Fi.
I'm not even over-exaggerating. I cannot think at any point would 3G be a good idea for a games console? Not even if they were to put a web browser on it, because you get on your phone a better web browser.
Well, again, this goes back to Sony catering to the gamers market, who are like, oh, we want all this new technology in it, and it's not always something that will improve a game. I'm actually surprised that, of all the things, Sony's not pushing 3D on this.
Because according to Sony, 3D just isn't right for portable games.
We're
talking about a company who's pushing 3G and GPS in their handheld system.
This is the same company that's pushing 3D in their console, their TVs, their laptops, their camcorders, and they don't think it's suitable for their handheld device?
I haven't really heard of anyone who's saying, oh, the 3D on the 3DS sucks.
Awesome.
It's not even a comparison to the 3DS. It's just weird that for a company that's so keen on pushing 3D and everything else, that their handheld's the one device they decide not to do 3D in, and they have competition in that field.
Oh, the point I'm trying to make is everyone is praising, like, the 3D and the 3DS, right? And yet Sony seems to think that it's not right for games, and yet everyone else thinks otherwise.
Sony has been right more than they've been wrong, and I ask. No, I can't even finish that in the face. But, it has some novel features, and some of them are going to be cool. They're going to be like those features you check out once or twice on your computer once you get a new one, and then you're like, I'm never going to touch that again. I really don't know what they expect with that. Again, I guess to me, most of it is always like, how is this going to help build a better game? And I don't see how 3G and GPS does. I guess you play like some type of international manhunt game where like everybody's connected to GPS.
You can play Foursquare. That's a popular game. Foursquare.
Yes, Foursquare, if somebody marketed that right, that could become like a huge MMO. I mean, it's already, you already can dethrone people and become kings and queens of areas, so.
I'm mayor of my residence right now.
See, do you, you mean your house or your residence in school?
Yeah, we call our dorm our dorms residences in Canada.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, there you go. But, yeah, again, it's something that Sony's kind of put in the horse before the carriage before the horse, I should say, and trying to push technology that might not be suitable for gaming.
Might and not. Might not. I mean, there's no might about it.
Well, I don't want to completely write it off because, you know, there's going to be like that one company that comes around and invents that one game that uses GPS in such an innovative way that everybody's going to want. Because you never know what's going to be the next big thing. You never know what's going to be the next big thing without somebody pushing the idea. I mean, most people, and I don't know about you two, were like, oh, who needs a touch screen and who needs a dual screen when the DS came out? And you get all the different types
actually,
of things.
Actually, no, I was really on board.
I was kind of stoked about it.
I was on board with it.
Well, again, I didn't say I didn't know you two, but there were people, and you can, Chad's a member in the OGF, you can always go to the 3DS threads, and the original DS threads, and see people say that Nintendo gave up the fight, and, you know, PSP's gonna crush them. This looks stupid, this is dumb, or whatever. And it's the same thing with the Wii. It's like, who needs motion controls? And I know Daniel's not a fan of it.
No.
But you can't deny that there have been games that wouldn't have been done without motion controls.
Oh my god, WarioWare Smooth Moves, that game was fun.
And that spawned off Just Dance and all that other stuff, so you never know. I mean,
one thing I'm just saying about this generation of handhelds is it looks like it's going to be sort of the DS versus the PSP all over again. But there's one big exception with this fight. Is because instead of just two players, there's three. And the third one that everybody's forgetting about is Apple.
Don't say iPhone.
I've seen a lot of people say, oh, I play games on my phone. I don't need another handheld gaming system.
Which is true, and
I kind of am of that mindset, to be honest.
I agree with that, because especially on your phone, you can, I mean, with instant connection, you can buy a game, and some of these are like $2-3. And, you know, it's a handheld. You don't want anything too complex, and that works.
Fruit Ninja, Angry Birds, you know?
Considering the first time I spent, like, on a bus each day is, like, 10 minutes either way, like, that's the perfect thing for me. Just a quick screw around, and, like, drop 7 is flawless for that kind of stuff.
And I think this is going to affect Sony more than it affects Nintendo. I'm not going to say it won't affect Nintendo. But, because Sony, right now, their games are either downports of console games, which means somebody has to pick this over buying, like, a PS3 or a 360. Or it's going to be, like, the shop games, which are going to compete with Apple and Android games, when they went ahead and announced Android support at the same conference.
I think that's more like the music and movie rentals.
I thought it was for making games because they said the games would be also be compatible with the PSP 2. The PlayStation Suite or something like that.
Games would be interesting.
So, it's like, I mean,
Android and the iPhone together are really, really popular because everyone's going to end up upgrading to smartphones anyway.
Yeah, I mean, and we're getting to that point now if you don't have a smartphone, it's kind of...
And if I suppose that's one way that Sony could sort of alleviate the competition from Android, but it could also be their undoing because it's like, oh, I've got PSP stuff on my phone. Why would
Which is why I didn't get why they announced that app for like the PS3 and the PSP for like Androids and iPhones.
Because... It wouldn't be if the iPhone and Apple wouldn't have anything to do with that. But,
I thought it was on the iPhone too. The app's coming off, isn't it?
No, the PlayStation app that's out now is just it's not anything like the PlayStation what they mentioned.
Well, it's not like the PlayStation Suite, but it gives you access to like, your trophies and your friends. Just,
yeah, it's only for Android because the PlayStation Suite, well, it sounds like it's some sort of marketplace. And if they were to even consider releasing it on the iPhone, Apple won't have anything to do with that because of their restrictions and stuff. They won't allow competition. So it'll be on Android only for the most part, and it still could be their undoing.
Okay. Is there anything else that we have missed with the NGP? Oh, the most obvious one. What do you think of the code name? I mean,
I think it's a code name.
I mean,
yeah, but usually when you get code names, people are kind of behind them. Like, people kind of grew to like Project Natal. I think most people prefer Revolution over Wii. Dolphin over GameCube.
Everyone prefers Revolution over Wii.
I prefer Wii.
You prefer weird.
Yes. That was the sticking point with the Wii, is that it's different. It stays in your head. Revolution just kind of sounded pompous.
Well,
Don't you think? It was a revolution in that sense, but
yeah,
it's so your revolution for the first year. It's been like 4.5 years on the market, and most of the
revolution
games
is just as generic as NGP. That's far as I'm concerned.
NGP, I give the nod to NGP because honestly, it just sounds awful, and it stands for something awful.
As far as I'm concerned, aren't code names just designed to stop the competition knowing what you're talking about? In which case, if you're just going to say, hey, look, everyone, look at RNGP, then it kind of defeats the point of a code name initially. Yeah. And what else could they call it other than PSP2? Everyone's going to call it the PSP2 anyway.
Well,
everyone already is calling it the PSP2.
The thing is, and this is something I've mentioned before, is I don't know if Sony should stick with the PSP brand or the PlayStation brand, because the brand has kind of taken a hit this generation.
The whole PlayStation brand has taken a hit.
Yeah, which is what I'm saying, is that
not a PlayStation, what is it?
That's the thing. It's like, because Sony doesn't, I mean, people know Sony, but I don't think they know that, you know, most people don't call it the Sony PlayStation or the Sony PlayStation 3 or the Sony PlayStation 4.
They just say PlayStation.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be an issue, and this is where it originally came up with. When you start hitting like PlayStation 4, after a while, the branding makes it sound old.
That's why I kind of like the name Xbox 360, because it's not Xbox 2.
Yeah, and, I mean, the PlayStation 2 worked, PlayStation 3, you know, you build off the success of the PlayStation 2, but after a while, it's like, you know, like, when we're up to the 7th sequel, it's like, ugh.
But, you could say the same for games.
Yeah, you can say this. And I think games, and I think that's a huge problem
Uncharted
with games.
Uncharted 4.
Which is why when you see games like this year, you have a whole bunch of 3s, and you're like, oh, this is generation for a sequel.
Yeah, but 3's the magic number. People will buy 3s, but not 4s.
The problem also becomes, like, once you start seeing 3s and 4s, like, do I want to jump in because I haven't played 1 and 2?
Yeah.
And stuff like that. I'm sure there's been movies where, like, oh, this is, like, the first part I haven't seen.
I admit that when you just stick 4 on something, it's just like, oh, could you not just come up with a better name?
Yeah, and that's kind of what it is. I mean, Nintendo's been smart with that because, you know, people always say they milk Mario and Zelda, which is true, but...
They all have subtitles.
Yeah, they either have subtitles or they have random numberings because it's Super Mario Bros. 1 through 3. And it's Super
Well,
Mario
I think
Bros.
That's why
2.
People say they do that is because it's just like, okay, we're making this random game. What should we do for characters? Oh, let's just throw these already established characters into it.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as naming goes, does anybody know what number Zelda this would be? Skyward Sword?
10 billion.
I believe it's only the 7th console one. I could be mistaken.
It's still the 10 billionth Zelda game.
But yes, it's like that. It's like you don't like it would sound if it was Legend of Zelda 7 or 13 or whatever number this is. That just sounds bad. But Skyward Swords and people are like, oh, new Zelda, sweet.
Yeah.
Compare that to like saying, oh, we're getting Final Fantasy 13. It's like another Final Fantasy. Or
yeah, but people are like that when you know, with like a Gito 13, and a Gito 13 is a bad example. It doesn't have to have a number for someone to go, oh, another Final Fantasy. This is why I agree with the whole Final Fantasy is burnt out thing, but this is a completely different topic entirely.
Yes, it is a different topic. I mean, final thoughts. I'm not going to get the PSP2, or it's not anytime soon.
Despite how amazed I might be on Saturday for the 3DS, I'm gonna wait it out for the handhelds because I'm not a big handheld person, and I'll probably end up just getting the 3DS anyway because it has Phoenix Wright and Pokemon on it.
I honestly am. I'm going to hold it as long as I can for the 3DS, but as soon as Paper Mario 3DS gets a release date, I'm kind of there. If they can hold off until next year.
Sony just doesn't have the whole pick up and play and then put down whenever is really important to me when I get a handheld, and I just don't think Sony have that now at all.
No, because they keep on trying to replicate the console experience, which is novel, but it's not, you know, I have a console for that, so.
Yeah.
Chad.
The DS does that particularly well, like.
Does what, pick up and play games?
Yeah, like I find even when I'm playing a DS game, it's like, I don't know.
And maybe you're not, because I mean, most of the DS games, at least the ones that are popular, like Professor Layton and Ace Phoenix Wright, are games you can probably do like one or two puzzles and put it down.
Yeah, that's true.
James, like, you do a couple of testimonies and then you put it down. Pokemon, you do a couple of Pokemon battles or do a gym and you put it down.
Mm. Maybe it's just my catalog RPG-ness. Does not lend itself to.
I was gonna say the other thing, and I don't use a PSP, so I don't know, is that the DS has a sleep mode. So even if you aren't near a save point or you haven't saved,
the PSP has always had a sleep mode.
PSP
but I
does
just
have a sleep
think
mode.
That
okay.
The problem with the PSP is again, it's like. Because the games are fairly big, so you think, so what the fuck was I doing now?
So, I know. Yeah. Okay, so I mean that should be it for NGP for this week. Other news, Platinum Games announced a new game. That's
it has Bayonetta in it.
Was that Bayonetta? I wasn't sure if that was her.
It has Bayonetta and the guy from Mad World in it.
Yes, Jack.
Yeah.
And he looks awful in color. He looks kind of weird.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure what to think of this game. It kind of seems like a mess.
What is this game?
That's the thing. It's kind of. It seems like right now, all we really know about is the fact that it's like an online beat 'em up brawl type game. Which it could be fun, but I'm not really sure if it's just going to be like. Yeah, I'm not really sure what it is, and the trailer doesn't really help. Give you any idea? Because from what it looked like in the trailer, it kind of looked like it was a Mad World sequel with a multiplayer aspect where you just kind of get now you have other humans who you do this stuff to.
Yeah.
Which again could work, but if it's like Mad World,
I think
we
just have to wait until the more stuff comes out of it. And
I wish
it's going to be crazy because just look at their past library.
Yeah, they make fantastic games. They also, I mean, I don't know. I haven't played Vanquish yet, but I don't know any of their games I don't like. I don't love any of them really, but I do enjoy them. I would say, I guess, that my favorite is Beautiful Joe. Or, they're the same people who made Resident Evil 4, right?
Yeah. I think so.
Okay. What else is there? Nintendo announced a new Kirby game.
Yeah, apparently it's going to be like a more traditional Kirby game, which is it's nice.
It is a more have you not seen the trailer?
About that.
Did nobody like Epic Yarn?
No, Epic Yarn was good, but it's been a long time since we've had a traditional Kirby game, too.
I find it weird, or funny, that people aren't bashing Nintendo for the fact that they're really announcing a Kirby game. The Kirby Epic Yarn isn't even out in Europe yet. And they already announced a new Kirby game for this year. I guess because of the difference in style and gameplay, it's not that big of a deal. Because it's like Mario Galaxy and New Super Mario Bros. Wii, which were like 7 months apart.
Yeah.
But I really wish, I mean, I guess personally speaking, I just love the Epic Yarn style. So I hope they keep that around. If anything, I would hope they drop Kirby from it and make like a Prince Fluff game so they can have like two IPs there instead of like just reusing Kirby.
Yeah.
They also announced a new game, which we have no details about.
I sat there in disbelief. I was like, Nintendo? New franchise? It's probably not going to be a new franchise.
People say Nintendo has done a lot of new franchises this generation. They might not be franchises people like, but they've done a lot of new franchises.
Like Wii Party.
Well, I was just to say, you have the whole Wii thing. You have stuff like Disaster Day of Crisis, the Ash Story, Xenoblade.
Yeah.
You know, and this isn't counting the stuff they've done on the handheld front, which I think people always kind of ignore when they talk about Nintendo and milking their IPs, is that they do a lot of, like, Nintendogs and brain training and all that other stuff. Again, it's not always games that people want, but, what can you do?
It's not the games they want, but it's the game they deserve.
Nice. What else has been going on this week? Nintendo and Microsoft both announced their financial results for Q3, and Microsoft made money.
When
Nintendo. Nintendo made money. They dropped in profits, I think.
That's to be expected. They've got a handheld coming out.
Yeah,
in a couple of months.
I mean, from what I understand, it's like they dropped from making $2 billion last year to making $1 billion this year.
That'll go right back up next year.
So, you know, it's really a tough sell for them.
Losing
$1 billion is still bad, but it's not like, you know, yeah, they have a handheld, so it's not like it's been going nowhere. The Wii is currently at, I think, 84.5 million consoles sold. The DS has crossed 100 and something, I think.
Yeah. That's going to go down. Oh, it's not going to go anywhere now.
Well, I think it's still going to go. I think, especially with the fact that Pokemon hasn't come out on the DS in Europe or the States, means that it's still going to have some eggs. I don't see it selling like 15 million in a quarter, but it's still, I mean, the PS2 is still selling like 85,000 a month or something like that. In the States alone. Microsoft made profits. I think they made something like $639 million. But Microsoft is always hard to read since they do it as an entertainment unit. So that includes like the Zune and the Windows 7 phone.
Yeah.
But most of it was buoyed by, I assume, Kinect sales, which were doing well. I think they said 8 million in 6 days. I mean, 60 days. So there's that. I don't know when Sony's is expected to be announced, but if I'm not mistaken, I believe I think Microsoft sold 9.1 million units in Q for the year, and then Sony's 8.6 or something like that. So, I mean, if there's anything else, I think that was all the big news for this week.
Yeah, I think that's it. There's one more thing. So, Serlat Yerli, the founder of Crytek, I believe, says that they are discussing Timesplitters 4, which, as far as I'm concerned, is only a good thing. If Crytek keep talking about Timesplitters 4, the more likely it's going to happen. So I cannot wait for 2013, because that's when it will come out, I bet you, if they do it. Everyone needs to know this information, because it's Timesplitters.
And it's potentially important if it goes anywhere.
It's life-saving information. It's going to save my life anyway.
Some more Timesplitters, I'm cool with that.
I'm okay with it, too. I mean, has anybody, I guess we
can...
might as well segue into this, since it's probably sure. Has anybody played the Bulletstorm demo?
Have I, heck?
I have not, but that's not the demo of the week. I hate to break it to you.
The demo of the week is actually a puzzle game. Chad?
Is that Bulletstorm as well?
No.
Because, I mean, it doesn't work like a puzzle game, but it's kind of like, you know, you have to strategize how you're going to best use your weapons and moves to max out your combo to get the most amount of points.
Yeah, with Bulletstorm, I found that if you don't think about it, you get more points and you have more fun. Which is kind of, you know, it may be against the point of kill with skill, but once you play it a couple of times, it kind of you work out what you've got to do and what works and what doesn't, it comes more natural. And it's weird because I thought the intro to the demo tells you to play it 3 times.
And, does it?
Yeah, it tells you to play it once, get some basic kills, and then it tells you to play it again and use the leash, and then play it again and use some more advanced techniques and combine things together. And I found that to be a very good thing. Very helpful.
Okay. And I assume the big demo of this week then would have to be Crysis 2.
If by big, you mean big ripoff.
You're killing me here, man.
I have not played it, so is it any good?
Or do you like, do you own Call of Duty Black Ops?
I haven't played that.
Have you played any Call of Duty made in the past 4 years?
Yes, I've played Modern Warfare.
You've played Crysis 2 online, then.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's one of those, eh?
Honestly, is there any other FPS that decides that, you know, we don't have to be Call of Duty? It was bad enough when I played Medal of Honor, which I expected, but, I mean, Crysis didn't even look like it owned itself to a Medal of
Honor. Yeah, so the online is Call of Duty verbatim. The only difference is you get the left and right bumpers, or L1 and R1, depending on what platform you're on. They either make you have more armor, or they make you invisible. Also, here's the thing that annoys me, is, you know how, have you ever played Half-Life 2, and you have to swap to grenades before you throw them? You have to do this in Crysis 2 online. And I hate that. I can put up with it in Half-Life 2, because it's a single-player game. But when it comes to online, I can't just throw a grenade. I have to swap to it and then throw it, which annoys me. Other than that, melee is overpowered. The killstreak system works a tad bit different, but other than that, it's the same.
Okay. Were there any other demos this week? Nothing?
The puzzle game that Chad...
I swear to God, you're doing this just to piss me off, aren't you?
Was there a Tetris demo this week?
Calling it a puzzle game or ignoring it?
I will come to New York and fucking fight you, Earl. You know what came out.
Tetris on PSN and Xbox Live Arcade.
Only if you're in Japan.
Exactly, there you go. Yeah, so the Japanese demo for Game of the Year 2011 came out. It's called
Captain.
You
know, last time you said that,
awesome.
You ended up being disappointed with the game, but...
Which game did I say that about?
That was the Naruto game, I think?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah, I did. I was super disappointed in that, but that wasn't made by Atlus, so...
But that was your game of the year. That was your game of the year from E3 into, like, October.
That game I was most excited about. That wasn't...
No, you said that was the game of the year. You said that was the best game you played at E3, and you repeated this several times.
Yeah, that was the best game I played at E3. That's true.
And you said this is going to be your game of the year. But go on.
This is going to be, actually, probably not this year, because it's probably not going to come out here. Atlus still hasn't announced whether they're localizing it or not. So this might be the game that finishes the job Final Fantasy 13 started.
Which is?
Making me learn Japanese.
Have you played the demo? I assume you have.
It's not what I expected out of the Atlus team, especially given that this is the crew from Persona 3 and Persona 4, which were both like character-driven, like story-based RPGs, and this is not really any of that, if the demo's any kind of an indicator. There's not so much like running around dungeons, battling, and running around talking to people, so much as it's, there's a big wall of blocks in front of you, get to the top. So you have to like push or pull the blocks to climb up this like ascending staircase of blocks, and there's mechanics like, as long as the block's on the edge of another one, it can kind of like semi-float in the air. There's some blocks that are easier to pull than others because they are heavier or whatever. And there's like little power-ups along the way. Like, the gameplay is, it's cool and it's kind of interesting, but it's definitely not what I'm going to that series for.
I was going to say, because I couldn't buy a whole game of that.
No.
If it's a retail game, I couldn't buy a whole game of that.
It definitely will.
Because I watched the Giant Bomb Quick Look, and it looked like that's all the whole game was. Apart from the random...
Gameplay-wise, it is. It's looking to be that way anyway, that's like the only kind of gameplay there is. But the story is just... the English vocabulary doesn't have words to talk about this story. Like, it's just weird. It's just weird and messed up, and it's so totally Atlas, and everything about it is totally Atlas, and I just love it so much. I want it right now. This is, like, the one game of the past, like, probably this generation where you can have to take everything I say about it with a grain of salt, because I'm kind of, what's the word? What's the word? There's a word I'm looking for. There we are.
Obsessed.
Yep, all of those. I will ignore any flaws that are present because it's so damn awesome everywhere else.
But that it, I guess I can't complain because honestly, I'd buy Journey and El Shadi if I could just because it looks so damn awesome.
That looks cool, yeah. Talked about that as well.
I saw some new animations in that game. Just I don't even know what it is. I'm just like, I'll buy it anyhow. So I guess I'm the other type of graphical horror. I'm the, if it's nice visually and autistic, I'll buy it. Not if it pushes 10 billion polygons per second. I mean, yeah, I guess we're running low on time, so I won't be doing what you've been saying. But is there anything you folks wanted to mention real quick that you have?
Oh god, I just bought Monday Night Combat on PC, didn't I?
But you,
I've mentioned everything I want to mention.
You've played that on the Xbox. Any add stuff?
Not really. And I play it with an Xbox controller, which makes it worse.
So you pretty much just bought the same game again.
Yep. Just a little bit.
Okay.
That's,
can't fault you. It's an awesome game.
I can't
game.
Say that. I mean, I can't play it on three different platforms, so.
Oh, God.
It would be one of my top 10 games of 2010. Probably my favorite downloadable title of 2010. But yeah, I don't know if I would buy it again.
Pac-Man way better than Monday Night Combat, man.
I haven't played Pac-Man yet. Oh, I did play Pac-Man.
The Pac-Man really
awesome.
Menu.
I played it at a friend's
the
house.
Pac-Man menu is better than.
Actually, Super Meat Boy's up there as well, but the problem is Pac-Man and Super Meat Boy weren't games. They aren't games I have. I've played them, but I haven't sat down and played them entirely yet.
I hope I get a special prize from the developers because I bought their game twice.
Yeah, you should probably send them an email saying I'm free giving you free marketing by buying and tweeting about it all the time.
And we're also extolling its virtues to our millions of listeners, so like
millions of listeners. So yeah, I don't. I mean, right now, and I could be mistaken. Unlike the last 2 weeks, we don't have any idea of what is installed this week. So probably next week we won't have an announcement of a system or a handheld, or Square holding another press conference. Actually, I think Namco Bandai has a conference this week.
Let's talk about the Final Fantasy Versus 13 first gameplay that we've seen yet. Because that happened.
And we can talk about that next week.
It's awesome. And if you guys haven't seen it, you need to go watch it, because it's sick. Final Fantasy game that Final Fantasy 13 was supposed to be, goddammit.
You're a fan of Final Fantasy 13?
What?
Aren't you? You defended Final Fantasy 13 on this. So
yeah, but it doesn't mean he can't criticize it.
Yeah, I get that. Like, but if you're saying this is the game it should have been, that means
Final Fantasy 13 was a fantastic game, but it definitely had its flaws. I will say that just as much as anyone, and I think this game is looking to solve some of the problems that the first one had.
Well, it needs to. Let's put it that way. And even if it doesn't, it needs to. It looks fun. I'm just not sold. It's Final Fantasy, and they all look the same nowadays. I mean, yes, I have, like, two copies of Monday Night Combat and 10 and Call of Duty games coming out of my ears, I know. I'm a hypocrite.
Aren't we always when it comes to stuff we love?
Yeah.
Like, it's easy to point fingers at Call of Duty, I mean, at Final Fantasy and say like this. But, yeah, I mean, if you think about it, Final Fantasy, okay, granted, they do way too much with the numbering and branding. But it is, 13 Final Fantasies in 24 years? There's 7 Call of Duties in 8 years?
No. No, because well, I'm talking about more the main 13. I don't.
I'm talking about. Okay, we'll go with 15 to be even, because I'm going to count X. I'm going to count X2, and I'm going to count
13 too.
No.
Well, not 13 too. That's not out yet.
Well, it's,
I'm not going to count Final Fantasy Tactics and.
How many Final Fantasy games are in development right now?
There's probably like 5.
There's Versus 13. There's 13-2. There's Type 0. The PSP one.
There's. There's a bunch of them. We had this discussion last week when we talked about the fact that the games...
Square Enix are worse than Activision.
It's Final Fantasy and it's Kingdom Hearts are the two games they have on their dockets, really, and they kind of treat Dragon Quest as like something that's not part of the Square family.
I haven't really paid any attention to it, but are they doing that with Kingdom Hearts?
What? Well, I mean, if you think about it, I mean... Between Kingdom Hearts 2 and 3, which hasn't been announced yet, we've had... Birth by Sleep, we've had 358 by 2, and we've had Recoded. We have... There's a new one they announced.
The 3DS one.
The 3DS, Drop Dream, whatever.
Okay, yeah, I guess they have been kind of...
Chains of Memory.
Going a little crazy.
So, yeah. And this is what... Kingdom Hearts came out in 2001? 2002? So it's like 8 years, and it's like 7
games. And it's not like nobody wants a Kingdom Hearts 3. Nobody wants that.
Well, I think the problem with Kingdom Hearts 3, and this is the problem kind of with Final Fantasy 13, is that Square has to invest a lot of money into making this on the PS3 or the 360. I assume both at this point. Because it's not a Final Fantasy where they can skimp on the town. Like, part of the appeal of Kingdom Hearts is seeing all the Disney locations. And I assume that's not going to be a pretty penny to... render on the PS3 and the 360 hardware, which is part of the reason I believe that coming out with Final Fantasy 13 2 is to make money off of the Final Fantasy 13 engine as fast as possible.
Yeah, the engine's good. I feel like if they, the one thing that they have to do with 13 2 is like give you access to the entire battle system right from the start.
Well, I assume they'd have...
They level up right from the start. That'd be an improvement as well.
Yeah, that'd be nice as well. But I don't know, because the combat is actually really, really good. Like, eventually. But it's the eventually part that's the problem.
Well, again, and it's the problem with this again, is like, are people going to return for Final Fantasy 13 too if they haven't bested Final Fantasy 13?
Yeah, I'm not going to bother.
Because it's like seeing, and we had this discussion last week, it's like seeing a third or second part of a movie and not knowing what happened in the first part.
Yeah, I got to be honest. As much as I have championed it and been like, no, like, you guys are all haters, stop hating, it's really a good game deep down, and you just need to stop being blind, I still haven't finished it.
See? And you're...
and I'm on board, like... I enjoyed the game, and I still haven't finished it.
I could be mistaken, though. I think Jason has finished it.
Cool.
So
he's got more patience than a lot of us.
Well, I think it helped with him because it was his first Final Fantasy. So he didn't come in with any type of expectations.
That baffles me how people can be older than me, yet come into Final Fantasy way after me.
Well, you have to realize that first, and this is something, well, this is supposed to be wrapping up so long ago. This is a discussion I was having yesterday, is that RPGs, if you're a new gamer, are really intimidating to see, because you have
but
to know
one of the first these... games, the first games I came into contact with were Final Fantasy IX and an RTS game.
Yeah, but that's true.
Oh, wow.
I mean, for the most part, I've been gaming for 20 some odd years now, and I do my best to avoid RPGs. It's not that I can't play them, it's just that they get, you have to know a lot of stuff to be really good at them. And even then, I guess being good at them is not really the word, but you have to know how to plan ahead and strategize your moves and stuff.
Or know how to fight lots and lots and lots of dudes.
Yes. I can tell you, of all the RPGs that I've played, I have never, ever maxed out any characters.
I did it with Tales of Symphonia, like, 4 times.
I didn't even know you could reach... I didn't even know most level caps were 99. I always just assumed they were around like 50 or 60. Because usually that's all you need to do to beat a game.
Oh, that reminds me. Word on the street is that Tales of Graces F is finally coming to North America. Makes me so happy. We haven't had Tales game in years.
I guess it's been, 2008.
Was Vesperia 2008?
No, Vesperia was 2007. Yeah. Dawn of the New World.
Oh, well, that doesn't count.
It's a Tales game.
No, it's not.
What's wrong with it?
Tales on it, and it's not good.
Okay, you know what? I'm not even going to defend that game, because I own it, and I played it 12 hours, and I never touched it again. Yeah, it has a really weird Pokemon thing going on, where you can collect monsters, you battle, but you have to do certain stuff.
It's the worst Tales game I've ever played. It is definitely the worst game in the series.
Okay. But yeah, that's what I was saying before, that we have, there's hints that Namco Bandai is going to have a conference this week to announce their 2011 item, so that might be the bulk of our news next week. But there's only one way to find out, and that's to tune in next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. But for Chad, Dylan, and myself, this has been Dual Wielding episode 18.
I've been staying.